Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us. I have the great honor to be joined once again joining me once again is Lynn Barron. Thank you, Lynn, for joining me.
Yeah, happy to bring you up to date, Surjeet.
We were talking off air right now about some things that have been going on. So I wanted you to let our viewers, our listeners, know about these things because I think they're pretty important in the Fraser Valley. So what has been going on with you and your projects?
Well, I'm the chairperson of West Creek Awareness Group. And actually, as I've said in previous programs, since the late 70s, I've been a protector of that, trying to be a protector of that salmon habitat. And so in 2000, the Department of Fisheries and Oceans gave a permit for them to do some very serious alterations on that water course, which is one of the 14 most sensitive in BC and is a salmon habitat right up to the headwaters. The DFO gave them permission to seriously alter and harm that water course, 22 different locations. And so that was supposed to end in 2015, but Beatty, the company, the developer, think that they can still use that old permit to do further harm to that headwaters and that water salmon habitat. And so most recently, we've been keeping our eye on the northeast corner of that whole area, which was zoned R2. And the neighbors thought that it was going to be green space or parkland. And we just found out that they want to rezone it to be medium industrial use. And so right where they're looking at two lots with buildings and paved parking lots, there's a wetland that supplies nutrients to both West Creek and another one of the 14 most sensitive creeks, which is Nathan Creek. And Nathan Creek has fish right up to there, and probably even in that area. And so we just found out at a public meeting that the DFO, well, according to the developer, has given permission to pave over this wetland. And so I got a hold of DFO and had a talk with one of their habitat, quote, protection biologists. And DFO has not given a permit, but a letter of advice. So I said to DFO, like, it'd be really helpful if we saw Beatty's application, because I want to see if Beatty noted that Nathan Creek goes right up into that area. In fact, I have a Langley watershed map that shows Nathan Creek, which is a Class A red listed creek, which means it's an exceptionally good salmon habitat. And so anyway, he said he couldn't give me that information, that I would have to use the access to information process. And I said, well, gee whiz, by the time I hear back from DFO, who seems to really drag their feet on these requests, and they have for me in the past taken months and months, I said, by the time I get the information, the project could be not only approved, but already started. And then he said, well, you know, if they do anything that you think they shouldn't be doing, in the meantime, you can report and record and let DFO know. And I said, yes. In fact, we've been doing that in the EV logistics case, where another wetland is being plowed over and built over. And I said, we were told by DFO that it'd be 2 years before their complaint staff could inspect our complaint. And I said, in that case, the buildings and the parking lot will already have been built. So, pardon me, I've let one of the members of parliament know. I'm likely to let the Fisheries Committee MPs, the Federal Fisheries Committee MPs know about it, because at the moment, the federal government has committed millions of dollars to, habitat protection and preservation. So, an enhancement. And yet this kind of stuff goes on. It seems that one hand doesn't know what the other hand is doing. And, you know, here we have millions of dollars of public funds, supposedly protecting and revitalizing these water courses that have been damaged. And yet at the same time, this water course is like 23, 24 times that DFO has given permission for it to be harmed. So we're going to, I actually on May Day at Bradner a couple of weeks ago, handed out leaflets alerting that community about Nathan Creek, because that community really cares about their water course and they're not afraid to speak up and speak out. So I let them know what's going on, and our environmental engineer, we were actually had a meeting with Beattie, and they did inspect the site, and she did tell them that they were not complying with the riparian setbacks. And so it's really challenging and really frustrating, but we keep on trying.
Mm-hmm. And you said you handed pamphlets to that community. What kind of help can they provide you or your group to make a difference?
They could speak to local, provincial, and federal representatives like MPs, MLAs, local council. When I handed out the leaflets at Bradner, I mean, there are hundreds of people that go to that parade. So I asked people before I gave them a leaflet, do you live in Bradner or do you live in Langley? Because, you know, those are the people that are directly affected. And so we're developing a strategy right now. The township of Langley, you know, the fisheries biologist said, well, like the engineer for the developer said, oh, well, the water's gonna run off. We said, are you gonna do green buildings? No. Are you gonna do a pavement that is can soak up the water? No, and that it would go into the ground. No, we're going to put it in a storm drain. And I said, I don't even think the township of Langley has a storm drain on this street. And so the DFO guy said something about storm water management. And I said, actually, Langley has specifically excluded that area from any kind of storm water management. So that water it may not even go into those water courses, that those buildings and that parking lot may interrupt the flow of water going into two Class A streams that have salmon in them. So, you have to wonder who's influencing these decisions, and how one can also influence these decisions.
Mm-hmm. And we were talking off air. You just told me about Professor Takeru. And if people remember, a few weeks back, we held an environmental roundtable on civil radio. And he was one of the guests that we had. Can you give an update about what's happening with him?
Yes, he was one of the people that was arrested for breaching the injunction. It's a civil injunction that is now criminalizing people. Trans Mountain took out an injunction and people were not allowed to go within, I think it was 15 meters of their work, you know, their proposed right away. And so people, besides me, are very concerned about the impact of that industrial activity on salmon bearing creeks. So Dr. Takeru was at the Brunette Conservation Area trying to protect Stony Creek and Holmes Creek, which are our salmon habitat. And also there are species at risk, Nooksack dace in those water courses. And so they were trying to make sure that Trans Mountain was complying with the riparian setbacks and with any kind of DFO requirements for that area. And Trans Mountain decided that they had breached the injunction, and Dr. Takeru was tree sitting and got arrested and has gone before Justice Fitzpatrick, who is a Harper appointee to the court in BC. And Justice Fitzpatrick said, there is no excuse at all for breaching the injunction. And so he got convicted, and used to be that people got a fine or had to do community service. But these days, if you plead guilty, Dr. Takeru got a 28-day jail sentence. He's going to jail probably on Monday, the 13th. And the people who got arrested in Kamloops, the Crown has threatened them that if they don't plead guilty, they have 60 days of jail. They're looking at 60 days. And Dr. Takeru would have also had a 60-day sentence if he had not pled guilty. So people are trying to protect these watercourses, these salmon. Everybody, I mean, the Fisheries Committee keeps on wringing its hands, you know, all these MPs about, oh, our salmon are depleting, our salmon are depleting. Pacific salmon are in a crisis. And yet this kind of stuff is allowed. So it just, for us, it does not make any sense whatsoever.